In our first reading, Moses is talking about the role of prophecy. And if you read the Old Testament, prophets were these men and women who God sends to deliver a message to his people. And if you read the Old Testament, you're going to find out very quickly that those prophets are very often not well received by the people of Israel. Why? Because they're bringing a message that makes them uncomfortable. We had this situation last weekend when we heard the story of Jonah. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Where does he go? That way. Because he doesn't want to fulfill God's plan because he knows he's going to get some backlash from it. This past week, I received a letter from our bishop expressing that same sentiment, which I also express to you, that I must deliver a message to you this weekend, which I'm sure will make some people feel uncomfortable, and I'm sure I will get some nasty phone calls about. But nonetheless, it is God's will that it be delivered. In the past 10 days, the Department of Health and Human Services, led by our former governor, Kathleen Sebelius, issued a mandate that all institutions that provide health care to employees must now include coverage for contraception, sterilization, and abortifacients. That is, drugs that cause an abortion in their health care plan. This includes Catholic dioceses and Catholic churches and Catholic organizations throughout the country. Obviously, this is against our faith and against our beliefs as Catholics. There are two exceptions to this mandate. One is for houses of worship that primarily minister to just their own people, that don't do any outside work or don't employ any outside people. This does not include the Catholic Church. We have a school, we have Catholic charities, things like Harbor House and Anthony Family Shelter and food pantries. We employ people that are not of the Catholic faith. So we do not fall under this exemption. There is one other exemption for religious organizations that have not changed their health insurance plans since 2010, and there's certain narrow guidelines that the government gives in that case. And currently, we're very lucky that here in the Diocese of Wichita, we do fall under that exemption, but it is only a matter of time. Even as little as a year before we will lose that exemption. And so we're faced in the very near future with a situation where our own government will be forcing the Catholic Church to provide something that it finds sinful and harmful to its members. There's a couple different issues going on here. One is religious freedom. Our Constitution states in the First Amendment, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, end quote. And the Catholic Church is fully in line with this First Amendment. We do not want a theocracy. We don't want a government that promotes one religion. We want a government that promotes freedom of conscience. But the second part, which we also believe, is where we take issue, that it shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof, meaning of religion. People often talk about a separation of church and state, which is not a constitutional idea, but a convenient way of looking at things. And there's a lot of issues. I'm not going to pretend to be a constitutional lawyer and to know all about that. But what's interesting to me is that the same people who say that the church needs to stay out of the government's business are the people who are saying that we're going to get in yours. The free exercise of religion. Now, it's one thing if the government said, you know, opened it up and said, you can provide this or not depending on your religious beliefs. That is freedom. But to step on the toes of a religious organization and say you have to do something that you find morally objectionable is not the free exercise of religion. And so first and foremost, guys, your own government is stepping on your toes. They are not allowing you to freely exercise your religion. Second issue, freedom of conscience. As Catholics, we look at the human person in a unique way, and sometimes in a different way than other people do. Number one, we have a body and a soul, a spiritual part that you can't see, but the nevertheless is real. And we also say that we should have the freedom to obey our conscience. What is conscience? Conscience is the voice of God speaking inside of you. Now, a lot of people misinterpret this. They think that freedom of conscience means freedom of will, that I can do anything I want. No, it's the freedom to do what God wants me to do. So if God wants me to go to church, the Catholic Church wants a government and supports a government that allows you to do that. And we're fairly blessed here in the United States compared to many other countries to have that. There are certainly cases where that can be taken to extremes. If your religion tells you you should blow something up and hurt people, then obviously that's not good. That's not a true, God would never speak that to somebody's conscience. Conscience is not what you decide is right for you. Conscience is what God says is right for you. And a lot of people would object and say, well, Father, are you presuming to speak for God? Absolutely. And it's not a presumption at all. Jesus Christ is the one who said to Peter, Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said to Peter and to the apostles, you have the power to bind and loose. That is to determine what is right and what is wrong. And we do not do it on a human authority. We do it under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it is done very carefully. And it is done in an area of competence that the church has, and that is of faith and morals. But in this directive from the Health and Human Services, there is no exemption for your conscience. So not only does it step on your rights that you are given in the Constitution, but it steps on the rights you have as a human being. Both your religious freedom and your exercise of your conscience are being violated by your government. And I understand that this is first and foremost a political issue. You need to call your representatives, write them, and let them know that this is unacceptable. Why am I talking about it in church then? Because it has a moral effect. It affects us as Catholics. But there is still a third issue that I believe underlies both of these, and maybe even the root cause of this whole problem. This past June, Reuters news agency reported that 98% of women who claim to be Catholic use some form of birth control. 98%. So perhaps the problem is that the very church who says that they do not believe in the use of artificial birth control has 98% of its members asking for it. If I'm the government standing on the sideline, it makes a lot of sense to then provide for them. A lot of people think that the church is out of touch with modern society, and that at some point the Catholic Church will wake up, smell the roses. You're lying to yourselves. The church is very in touch with what's going on. And the church is very in touch with how these actions affect your soul and your eternal salvation. Brothers and sisters, pregnancy is not a disease. And birth control is not health care. What contraception and sterilization and abortion do is they twist the design that God gave to our bodies and our souls. And guys, what's interesting is that the statistics prove this. Couples who practice natural family planning in its true meaning, not using it as some type of contraception, but in its entirety, that is learning about God's plan for our bodies and how that interacts with our souls and living that out even when it requires sacrifice, have a 2 to 4% divorce rate. Couples who do not contracept before they're married and then practice natural family planning within their marriage have a 0.002% divorce rate. 0.002%. Let's compare that. Couples that contracept have over a 50% divorce rate. Now, if you're sitting in my office as a young couple, and I say to you, I want to give you some marriage insurance. And you say, that'd be great, Father. I'd say, it doesn't cost any money, but it will cost some self-denial. Would you take me up on the offer? Well, if you're a Christian and you want to imitate Jesus, look at that cross. Self-denial is part of the package. He's the one who said to his father, Father, if there's any way out of this, I'd really like to not go through this crucifixion. He's the one who hung on the cross and said, why have you abandoned me? To be a Christian, to be a Catholic, means there will be sacrifice in your life. For a celibate, that means I give up the comfort of a wife, the joy of children. For a married person, that means there are times when you have to abstain from marital relations if you are in need of that. You see, God has this, He's the one who created your body and your soul. And He didn't just hand it to you and say, here you go, have fun. He handed it to you with an instruction manual. And it's built right into your bodies. When we don't use that instruction manual, it's like having a new car runs on gasoline, but I say, well, Father, I just really want to put diesel in it. What's going to happen? It's not going to run. I remember very vividly about 4 years ago as a new priest at St. Francis of Assisi, working with a couple on marriage preparation. And they were sitting in my office on the couch, right, I was right across from them, and I remember we started to talk about this issue. And I remember the woman began to cry very hard. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said, Father, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. And I asked her what she was scared of. And she told me she was scared to trust God. And since that time, I've met with many men and women who express that same sentiment. That living out God's plan for our human person, including our sexuality, requires great trust. It's the father who, he's working as hard as he can, he's working a couple jobs, and he's not even making ends meet, and he's saying, Father, I can't afford another child right now. I don't even know where I'd put him. It's another mouth to feed. It's the woman who is genuinely scared of becoming pregnant again or can't handle the kids she's got. How am I going to do it with another one? And I am not standing here today, brothers and sisters, to condemn you or to make you feel bad. But at the same time, I'm not going to water down the truth. This is what your church teaches. The same church that you will stand up in a few moments and profess belief in, faith in, trust in. Even if you disagree with me, and if you disagree with your own church on what it teaches, I hope that you will at least stand with the Catholic Church on this issue of our freedom, of conscience. That even if you disagree with the church on its teaching on contraception, that you will at least recognize that the church should not be compelled to provide abortions for people. I ask you to stand with me, with your church, to defend the free use of your conscience and the religious liberty on which this country was founded.